Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with an excerpt from this week's sermon.
Now Herod, the Tetrarch, this is Herod the Great's son, one of his sons, heard of all that was done by Jesus, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead. Wow, John? John who? John the Baptist, whom Herod had killed. Some people were saying, the guy who's going around doing all these miracles, that's John the Baptist come back from the dead. And so we notice that John the Baptist was extremely well known in Israel because Jesus was well known too, and their ministries crossed at one point when John baptized Jesus, but not everybody quite understood. In fact, the vast majority didn't know that John said that Jesus is the one. It's not John, it's Jesus. And Jesus didn't go around saying, hey guys, John, remember him? He said, I'm the one. Jesus didn't do that. So Herod wanted to find out more about this Jesus because some said that he was John raised from the dead in verse 8, and by some that Elijah the prophet had appeared, and by others that one of the other old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John, I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Bethsaida is one of those villages north of the Sea of Galilee. It's where Andrew lived and Peter and Philip. And it's one of the three towns in which Jesus did most of his miracles: Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. So Jesus, he went to an area outside of the town that they had annexed, right? Outside of the city of Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear, the 12 came and said to him, and we'll go through this story rather quickly here. We know the story. Send the multitude away, the disciples said, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. Now, why all the fives, 5 loaves, 5,000? Well, historically, this really happened, and they had 5 loaves, and there were about 5,000. Why did Jesus tell them to sit in groups of 50? Well, again, he was interested in tactics, and this is a practical way of doing things. But also, in the last chapter, he had just spoken that the word of God could yield a harvest 100-fold. And so let's sit them in groups of 50, and let's have 100 groups of 50. And he who has ears, let them hear. And so Jesus is going to show that God's power is able to provide, and the harvest can bring 100-fold. No matter what you do in your life, you might interact with a lot of people or a few, but you could always reach someone.
This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, just back from Hawaii, and now inviting you to visit this Sunday. Visit Denver Bible Church. Come on out, 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. Or if you're out of state, visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. You can call for directions, 303-463-1707, or check us out at denverbiblechurch.org. And now, stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live.
Service with the weekend.
audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host, a Baptist pastor on Oahu last week. Got a kick out of that introduction. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. I am just back. Now, my wife and kids didn't get to go on this trip, as they've done in the past, but I'm just back with my mother and stepdad. We went for a week to Hawaii. There was a couple on Oahu who were getting married, and they raised the funds to host. They were the underwriters for a seminar. We did a seminar in a beautiful botanical gardens. Imagine a botanical gardens in Hawaii. It's just, we had such a neat time, and the topic was predestination and free will. It's such a fun topic. We have that, of course, available on audio tape. Not this seminar, but one of the previous ones. And I also had the honor of officiating at a wedding. The wedding was at a military resort on the beach on Waikiki. Our U.S. military, the Pentagon, owns and operates a resort. Isn't that wild? And it's an exclusive resort. It's right next to the Hilton at Hawaiian Village. Next to it is Halikoa. And the wedding had about 170 people. And it was just the most beautiful wedding. Joshua and Rhea White are now married, and what a good time we had. And I'm honored that they thought of me and invited me to come on out. They were the underwriters for the seminar, and by doing that, they were, you know, they sort of calculated, they schemed a bit. They said, well, if we have a seminar out here, then we can ask Bob to do the wedding since he'll already be here. And so Josh ran that by me, and I said, well, that would be wonderful. And we did it, and it was great. And we're just back today. So I missed church at Denver Bible Church, but we had just a fabulous time in Hawaii. And I got to work with my notebook computer out at the pool and the beach on the script. Now, that's the way to write. The script is a sequel to the plot, and it's coming along nicely. That's fun. Okay. One of the things I got to do while out there was speak to my cousin. Well, he's not really my cousin. He's Italian families. My mom is fully Italian, and Italian families, when at least when I was a kid, growing up, close friends of the family, you called adult men and women aunt and uncle, even if they weren't your aunt and uncle. They were close to show respect. And so I had my mother's good friend she grew up with. We called her aunt, and one of her sons I knew from a kid. He would swim with his sister in our backyard. And, you know, we really liked them. And then they moved away. Far away, they moved to Hawaii, and so we didn't see him in 30 years or so. And I got to see him. This was the second time, including on a previous seminar trip. And this time we spent a bit more time together, went out to eat on a couple of nights. And so I could call him my cousin, even though he's not my cousin, but my cuz. We talked about God because he was raised without a Christian belief. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He's not even sure if there is a God. And so we got to witness to him. Now, one of my dear friends lives in Hawaii, Jason Jones. He's a Christian and pro-life activist. And Jason and I arranged to meet for sushi one night. And I was also trying to meet with my cousin, and it all worked out. The three of us went out, and Jason is, he's got to be the most brilliant apologist, defender of the faith and of opponent of abortion that I've ever heard. He's just fabulous. So just sicking Jason alone on my cousin would be tremendous. but I got to be there too. So it was the two of us talking to my cousin, and we talked for about an hour. And it was a fascinating conversation, but a bit difficult too, because you guys who tune into the show, Bob and Yurt Live, you know what we've heard for years, 12 years now, there's no such thing as right and wrong. And that's the position my cousin took. And Jason Jones pointed out, he said, you know, people, because they want to defend, basically, they want to defend their own right to fornicate or to sexual immorality. That's what drives many people, not all, but many. But in order to defend their right to fornicate, they will even justify the Holocaust, murdering 6 million innocent people, or they'll justify rape, any crime. And they'll say there's no such thing as right or wrong. And that's what my cousin did. My cousin justified the Holocaust, saying, well, how could he say it was wrong? Maybe it's not wrong. He said maybe the world would be better off if Hitler had succeeded. That's what he said. If Hitler had succeeded and killed everyone who disagreed with him, maybe then there'd be more peace. Of course, he slaughtered Germans also. Right? They didn't just kill people who disagreed with him. This one kid they killed, you know, they had a euthanasia program where if three doctors sign a form and they agree, then a patient or an inmate would be put to death. And once the wall fell in the Berlin Wall, we've got millions of pages of documentation left over from Germany in the 30s and 40s. And for example, we have the documents on one young kid. I forget if he was 7 or 8 years old. You could read about it in a book called Cleansing the Fatherland. And they decided, three doctors signed his death warrant to kill him because he was a bedwetter. He was wetting the bed. He never overcome wetting the bed. You know, he probably had a troubled childhood or maybe some physical problem with his kidneys, his bladder, and so they put him to death. So Hitler just didn't kill people who disagreed with him. Once you start killing people, there's no reasonable place to stop once you start killing innocent people. And so to hear my cousin say, well, maybe the world would be better off, that's difficult to hear. So tragic. And, you know, he wouldn't hurt an animal. There was a cat or a kitten on his car leaving the restaurant, and he fed the cat. But think of the young Jewish children, little girls, who were slaughtered. For what? You justify it?
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here. Hey, the Predestination and Free Will Seminar, it's one of the more enjoyable Bible teachings we have on audio tape that I've ever done. I just love talking about that topic. We bring so many Bible verses to bear, talk through so many interesting scenarios. We talk about the nature of God. Of course, it's all based on the nature of God. What is God like? Then we can figure out more about what reality is like. So if you're interested, if you wish that you got to attend the seminar and you were not able to, well, you can get it on audio tape. Go to our store online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. That's our internet radio station, Bob and Yurt Live's internet radio home. Or call us at 1-800-8-NYARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. It's about, what, 5.5, 6 hours? And it's $32.95 plus shipping and handling. Like everything we have, money-back guarantee. I think you'll like it. Have you heard the Plop audio tape album? That's fun, too. NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So that was my cousin was arguing that there is no such thing as right or wrong. And he has such a love for animals. He literally, the next night, actually, he went out with my mom for dinner and Pops and his mom. And as they were leaving the restaurant, there was a cat on his car. And so he said to his mom, he said, "Mom, give me some of that food we're taking home." And he fed the cat. He loves cats. He brought home a stray cat, kitten, sometime back. And his mom said, "No, don't take that kitten in here." And he said, "Come on, I know if he'll stay one night, he'll stay forever." And he did. He stayed forever. Well, that's neat to care about. Okay, he brought home a bird, I think, an injured bird. I forget if he brought it home, but they nursed it to life, and the bird lived. The bird lived in their living room for a long time, a year or more, and the bird would take off and then come back at night. And then the bird brought home a partner. And so the mom said, "That's it. You and the partner, you guys are out now." To the bird. To the birds. So anyway, he loves animals, which is great. But if you love animals, you should also love people, and especially innocent people and children and those who would torment, torture, harm, murder innocent people. You know, those who reject God, Jesus Christ, say there's no such thing as right and wrong, so many of them would never kick a little kitten, would never do it. And my cousin wouldn't kick to hurt a little kitten. But 6 million human beings viciously slaughtered, hundreds of thousands of young children tormented and slaughtered, and to defend it as it's not wrong. How could we say that's wrong? And what are you buying in return? What you're buying is you don't want to admit that there is a righteous God. That's what you're buying. Because if there is no God, there cannot be right and wrong. There's only matter, atoms, molecules. And atoms and molecules, when a fish eats another fish, it's not wrong. So if there is no God and the stronger people kill the weaker, if the Germans kill the Jews, if the German men kill the Jewish children, well, that's not right or wrong. It's just something happening. And so those who reject God intuitively know that they have to reject right and wrong, and they do by the millions. And Jason Jones put it very succinctly. He said people will justify the Holocaust in order to defend their promiscuity. And that is so true. They will justify, they'll look the other way, they'll tolerate, they'll defend, they'll refuse to condemn the Holocaust, slaughtering millions of people. The intentional torment and slaughter of millions of people. They'll defend that rather than admit that they may be wrong. They may be sinners. Because as soon as we condemn anything, like the Nazis, then the question is, well, what else is wrong? And they don't want that spotlight turned on them. So in order to defend their own sin, they'll defend every sin. That's why there's a hell. That's why there's a hell. There has to be. Right? In fact, my cousin, that's one of the things that gets him most upset about Christians. He said it to us that night, Jason Jones and me, and he said it to my mom. That, look, Christians say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. And my mother said, that's right, you are. And he didn't like that. And so to think through that, you know, God, I guess his alternative is to force people who don't love him to live with him. That's his alternative. Think of a man who wants to live with a woman, but she doesn't love him and she doesn't want anything to do with him. And so he kidnaps her. What does he do? Kidnap her and forces her to live with him, builds her a dream home, puts her in it and cements all the windows shut, locks the doors so she can't get out. And that's, what is that? That's love? That's healthy? That's sick. And God is not unhealthy. God's not going to force people who do not love him, who don't want him, to live with him. No, God's not going to do that. God's not going to force people who say there's nothing wrong, that we can't condemn the Holocaust. The Holocaust wasn't wrong. God's not going to have those people live in heaven. Because if you can't be humble enough to admit that a mass murder on that scale is wrong, then what does it take for wicked men to succeed? You. That's what it takes. You and more like you. For pain and suffering to become the norm. Because you won't stand up for right, because there is no right or wrong. The only thing, people like that, the only thing they will condemn, for the most part, is Jesus Christ and those who believe in Jesus Christ. Everything else goes. Even mass murder, it goes. And so it's interesting. Jason Jones was saying that in Hawaii, he was going to the University of Hawaii, and his philosophy professor was saying there's no such thing as right or wrong. You can't condemn people for their political views, their actions. And in Hawaii, there's a movement, a sovereignty movement, that the Hawaiians, some of the Hawaiians say they should have the islands back. And America should no longer govern Hawaii. And so that movement is not likely to get too far, but you never know the way the world is these days. But at any rate, the professor said, just because, let's say King Kamehameha, liberals say he unified the Hawaiian Islands. Another way of saying that is he slaughtered the kings on Maui and Hawaii and Molokai or wherever there were kings. He slaughtered the other kings. So he murdered his competition. But they don't say that. They just say he unified the islands. Okay, so he unified the islands. So the philosophy professor in Jason Jones' class said, you know, you can't condemn the Hawaiians just because their political system was different than yours. You can't condemn them. You can't say that they were wrong. You can't say that they don't deserve to govern this land just because you don't like what they did. And so Jason Jones raised his hand and said, well, then, Professor, you can't condemn America for taking over the islands. You can't say what we've done is wrong. You can't say that we don't have any right to govern these islands just because you disagree with our political views. And the professor, of course, is stumped. Now, I think that was the Jason told two stories about his philosophy professor, and I think they were both about the same professor in the same class. The second story, and this is why I love Jason Jones. This is classic Jason. Here it is. The professor said, reality is subjective. The subject determines reality. So when you view something, how you view it, that's what reality is. The object does not determine reality. And he used the example of a drink, something in a glass, and what you view it as, that's what it is. So Jason raised his hand and he said, you mean if I bring in a glass of Coca-Cola and a glass of orange juice and you could say, well, reality is this is Coke, this is orange, whatever. It doesn't matter what's in the glass. It only matters what your reality is. That's reality? The professor said, yeah, that's reality. So Jason, okay, thank you. The next day, brought in two glasses. The one had Coca-Cola in it, and the professor says it's orange juice, and the professor's going to drink it, and he drinks it. Yep, that's orange juice. And Jason is saying, and you mean the other cup you're going to tell me is Coca-Cola? And the professor said, yeah. So he takes it out of the bag, and it's gasoline in the cup. And he put it on the professor's desk and said, all right, I think it's gasoline, but you think it's orange juice, so go ahead and drink it and let the class know what it tastes like. And the professor got angry at Jason and told the class that Jason is an example of rudeness. And Jason said to the professor, he said, I think you're the one who's rude, lying to all these students, telling them that they could determine what reality is. If they do drugs and they overdose and they're dead, it didn't matter what they thought would happen when they stuck the needle in them or took too many pills or drank too much. It didn't matter that they thought they were only going to have a good time. They could kill themselves because of the reality of what they were doing to themselves. And so on. When you teach people that there's no such thing as reality, not only are you a fool, you help to destroy those people to the extent you influence them. So anyway, Jason Jones is brilliant, and my cousin had it from both barrels. It was very gracious. It was a nice time. We had good sushi right on the beach. It was really an extraordinary night. And so if you could, I don't want to give his name, but if you could, pray for my cousin. Pray for him. I care about him a lot. I didn't see him for 30 years when they left, practically, and now twice on two different seminar tours to Hawaii. But I'd appreciate your prayers for him, as I will pray also. Okay, let's see. We're going to the bottom of the hour break real soon here. Maybe we could just quickly, our O'Reilly O'Reilly segment. In our O'Reilly O'Reilly segment tonight, Bill O'Reilly stated on his TV, Fox News TV program, The Factor, he said, if you state who God is, he was talking about American politics. If you state who God is, he said, then you violate the constitutional separation of church and state. If anything governmental states who God is, he said that violates the Constitution. Except that Article 7 of the very Constitution that O'Reilly referred to, Article 7 refers to Jesus Christ as our Lord. Did you know that? So I guess according to O'Reilly O'Reilly, Article 7 is unconstitutional. Bob Inyard here. This is a live commercial break. 1-800-8-INYARD is the call-in line. And to reach the order desk, it's 1-888-8-INYARD. That's 1-888-836-9278. We have so much fun teaching the Bible. That's my passion in life. My passion is, well, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, and that is eternal life, and then his word, the Bible. And it is such an awesome book. It's the most significant book in the history of mankind. It's the only book that's come to us from antiquity that tells us where we came from, who our parents are, where the nations came from, why we struggle with sin, how to resolve sin, where we're all headed. The Bible answers all the major questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Why am I the way I am? Where am I headed? What will happen to me? All those questions are answered in the Bible. And you might not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. If you don't, if that's you or if you know someone like that, well, you might want to start by reading the debate we have, Does God Exist? Bob Inyart versus Zaketh. It's about 170 pages. And you could get it from us online at kgov.com or by calling us at 1-888-8-NYART. That's a good place to start. Does God Exist? The debate. We also have a video by the same title, Does God Exist? I think you might enjoy that. And we have other videos like Confronting an Atheist, where an atheist called in to this show, and we made a video out of it, just confronting an atheist, talking through, is there a God? And then if there is a God, we begin to work through, well, what kind of God is he? And is the Bible his word? So if you'd like to study with us, give us a call. We're back. Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So that's the O'Reilly O'Reilly segment. Bill O'Reilly said if the government states who God is, then it violates the constitutional requirement for the separation of church and state. Except that the Constitution itself refers to Jesus Christ as our Lord. Article 7, verbatim quote, our Lord. Okay. Let's see. Victor Salva, we've told you about this guy, right? He's back in the news. Disney hired this guy some years back. He's a convicted child molester, Victor Salva. In fact, he videotaped himself sodomizing a very young boy. And that videotape was used in court, and he was convicted. And Disney hired him to direct a movie with kids named Powder. And he's just apparently directed another movie with kids in the movie. I mean, either way, whether it has kids or not, it's despicable for major corporations to hire this convicted child molester. But they not only hire him, they have him direct movies with kids in the movies. Shouldn't a condition of his release be that he's not allowed to be around kids? But he shouldn't have been released. But I mean, if for those who think that our broken system has some merits to it. So Victor Salva, he's a convicted child rapist, and Disney hired him to make a movie called Powder. And in that movie, now he just also directed Jeepers Creepers, Jeepers Creepers 2, I guess. But in the Disney movie Powder, the movie really was just a defense of his lifestyle. Powder was, I never saw the movie, but Powder was some white guy. I don't think he was just an albino. He was some, I don't know if he was an alien or what, but he was white. And basically, in that movie, Victor Salva, the child molester, is saying just because somebody's different doesn't mean he's bad or he's wrong or you should be against him. And in one scene in the movie Powder, I've been told, there it's a scene that shows this guy who's different. His name is Powder, or that's the name of the movie, that he's standing in or near a high school locker room shower, and he's sort of looking at the boys in the shower, and then he goes outside and he gets beat up. And the message was clear by Victor Salva, that pedophiles who are interested in young boys shouldn't be discriminated against. And so now Victor Salva's, he's still working. Well, of course he's still working. You know what's weird about that? I said to my stepdad in Hawaii, we were, let's see, was it this morning in L.A.? We left Hawaii last night, Honolulu Airport, at 9 in the evening. And we got into L.A. at 5 a.m. and back to Denver here this morning at 10. And I think it was in L.A., yeah. And we were talking about how homosexuality is becoming so commonplace. And my stepdad told me that he went to one of his granddaughter's colleges, and they're walking to the graduation ceremony. And he said something about homosexuality being wrong, and his granddaughter, I forget who all, turned around to him and said, "Shh." He said, "What do you mean, shh?" And he said, "Shh, they're all around." And he said, sure enough, there were two obvious lesbians walking right in front of them. And he said, "Why are you telling me, shh, they're the ones who are wrong? What I'm saying is true. What I'm saying is true. They're wrong. Why do I have to, shh? They're the ones who shouldn't do what they're doing. I don't have to, shh." So anyway, we were talking about that and about how bad it's getting. And I said to Pops, I said, and they're moving toward defending sex with children. That's what they're doing. And in Northern European countries, they've had more success than we have here. But in this country, they're working on it. And it's just tragic what's happening. And so Aurelio Riley tonight, I'm glad he did the promo and the segment. I didn't get to see the segment, but he promoted his show tonight by saying that the ACLU is fighting to defend a child molester, a man who has sex with young boys. And he did the promo saying that the ACLU is not saying the guy didn't do it, but the ACLU is saying the guy has the right to do it. So that's what's going on in America, of course. All right, what else? By the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Now, a Gallup poll, CNN USA Gallup poll about Americans and their thoughts on God. In God we trust on our money, 90% say that phrase should stay on our money, and 8% said it should come off the money. About the Ten Commandments being in that Alabama courtroom, Judge Roy Moore, 70% said the Ten Commandments should have stayed there. 29% said they should have been taken away. Prayer in school at ceremonies, 78% said there should be prayer in school. 21% said no. Now, I would have had a hard time with that prayer in school, because I'm against kids in school. This is prayer in public schools. I'm against kids in public schools. And I think when you have prayer in public schools, that only gives parents a false sense of security that the schools are not that bad. The schools are very bad. The schools are extremely bad. The schools are evil. I know George W. Bush defends the godless government education system, and he'd just like to put prayer in the graduation ceremony. Why are you going to have prayer in a graduation ceremony when you kick God out of the classroom? He's been kicked out of the curriculum. He's been kicked out of the laboratory. God's been kicked out of every aspect of government education, and you're going to put him in the graduation ceremony? What's with that? What's the point of that? That's good? That's like saying we're going to close down this house of ill repute, but they said they'd start praying before every meal. So we're going to let it go. We're going to keep it open. In fact, we're going to subsidize it with our tax dollars because they're praying before every meal. Come on. The godless education system in America needs to be condemned. We need to condemn it. One day, it needs to be closed down. How do we pull that off? I'm not sure how we pull it off, but not by advocating prayer in public school. Do you advocate prayer in a house of ill repute? Should we do that? Do you think if you were around in the 30s in Germany and you saw what the Nazi Party had become, would you advocate that they started every meeting with prayer? Maybe the Nazi Party would improve. It's a godless system, and godless systems don't find God. Godless systems don't find God. When a university goes secular, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, how long before they start preaching the gospel again? It doesn't happen. It just flat out doesn't happen. And so what you need to do generally is write off systems, bureaucracies that go godless. You write them off and you realize they're not coming back. Christians start a hospital and they use it to help the sick and to preach the gospel. And then after a few generations at the hospital, they're doing abortions and sex change operations. And they're giving birth control to little kids, you know, 12, 13-year-old kids. Do you think the hospital is going to become a place of vibrant Christian ministry again? No, it's not. It is not. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. The hospital is a lost cause, and the government school system is a lost cause. How should we use our resources? Because we have minimal resources. None of us have unlimited money or time or influence. So how do we use our influence and our resources regarding the government school system? We work to save kids to get them out of the system. That's the best way to use your minimal resources. If you're trying to use your resources to fix the system, then you're foolish. You're foolish because the system will not be fixed, and you should have enough wisdom by now to know that the government school system, the public schools, will not be fixed. But on the other hand, you might try to minimize damage. We'll talk about that in a bit. Bob and Yard here with a live commercial break. Have you ever stayed at the Hotel Colorado? Now, do you know where it is? In Glenwood Springs, California. If you get on I-70 and you head west through the mountains, it's about, about 3 hours from Denver? So if you're heading west, like when we went to Dinosaur National Monument and we did some dinosaur excavating, fossil excavating with our friends, Pete DeRosa and his kids, Peter and Mark. We stayed at the Hotel Colorado in Glenwood Springs, an absolutely gorgeous place. And I encourage you, it's been around since 1893. Teddy Roosevelt stayed there, right? That's where we got the teddy bear from. When he went bear hunting and he saw a bear and it was just a cub and he said he couldn't shoot it, it was just a baby. And I think that's where teddy bears started. At any rate, check him out on the web, hotelcolorado.com. It is just gorgeous. It's majestic. It's romantic. It's the place you'd like to stay with your wife or your family if you have the opportunity and you're heading west. Hey, Bob and Yart Live here. Our order line is 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. We have a subscription service whereby if you'd like to study the Bible with us for $34.95 a month, each month, about the middle of the month, we'll mail you a Bible study album. And we'll start you out with an overview of the whole Bible, and we'll get into the books of the Bible, and you'll get topics like predestination and free will and creation, evolution. You'll learn about God's criminal justice system. But generally, it's a study of the Bible every month, a complete album. I think you'll love it. So call 888-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So if you're involved with the public school system as a Christian and you're trying to minimize the damage done to kids who are in the system right now, well, that's a godly and laudable goal. It's really hard to do, but there's nothing wrong with that goal. But if your goal is to restore the government school system to a godly system, well, then you are wasting your time. And if you get Christian parents to go to every single Board of Education meeting and join every PTA in your entire county, and you do that for 10 years, at the end of 10 years, the public school system will be just as bad as it is right now. You're not going to win. You're not going to turn it into a Christian system. The only hope for the public school system is that it be destroyed. It's the only hope. It's a godless education system, and you cannot have a good godless education system. You can't have it. And so it lacks wisdom to try to fix the public school system. If you realize that and you're just trying to minimize the damage to the kids who are in it right now, that's a different matter. That's a tactical matter. And you may want to use your resources like that. But I think you'd be wiser, to the extent you put any effort into dealing with the government school system, the majority of your effort should be to warn parents to get your kids out of the system, because they don't send a note home saying, "Tomorrow we're going to ruin Johnny's mind." They don't warn parents like that. It happens subtly, and you lose your kids. All right. Let's see. What else? What else is in the news? We have the third arrest at Guantanamo Bay, or of workers at Guantanamo Bay, where we're keeping the Al-Qaeda operatives, the enemies of this country in Cuba, the end of Cuba that we control. And we have a military base there. And so now three Al-Qaeda spies, basically, we've arrested. Three working for the military and the CIA. Is that too much? Three. That's tough. You know, we're not taking this war on terror seriously enough. There's too much political correctness going on. We have to make sure that the Muslim terrorists who want to kill us have every opportunity to exercise their religion. A bit too much political correctness. A bit too much. Do they need access to an imam, a Muslim cleric? Well, not if we don't have someone who we fully and completely trust and has been thoroughly vetted. No, not if we have to put clerics in there that we don't know whether their allegiance is to America or not. No, in that case, they don't have access to a Muslim cleric. Would their religious rights be violated? Tough, it doesn't matter. They're the enemy. Islam is a false religion. Now, if they want to worship Allah, you worship Allah. If you want to do it, I mean, you'll go to hell unless you repent and worship God. But you're arrested as an enemy of the United States, and we've got three now. I mean, how many Muslims do we got working at Guantanamo Bay? That we got three that have been arrested in the past few weeks. Three! What do we have, 5,000 of them? I don't think so. We only have 4,200 in the whole military. We got three that have been arrested. How many are working there? Five? I don't know the answer. We have five working and three are spies for Al-Qaeda? What's going on? And what do we do with these guys if they're convicted? They should be executed. Do you think we have the stomach for the war on terror that will execute them? I doubt it. I doubt it. But they should be executed. But I doubt it. All right, what else? Oh, yeah, on this day back in the 1930s, September 30th, Britain and France appeased Germany, allowing the Germans to just occupy sovereign nations. It's not good to appease evil. You don't appease evil. It doesn't make things better. It makes things worse. You have to defeat evil. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, a new poll. 15% in America do not have health insurance. 15%. Now, that right there, that statistic, you know, liberals get all excited about that because they want us to have the kind of health care they have in Europe and Canada. Now, you know why liberals want that? Because Europeans and Canadians, when they could afford it, they come to America for their health care. Now, why would they do that? Canadians have free health care in Canada. Those who can afford it come to America to pay. Why would they come here and pay when they have it for free in Canada? I don't know. I can't figure that out. I just, you know, I've been thinking about that, and I can't figure it out. Why would they come here and pay for health care when it's free in Canada? Why is that? Well, at any rate, liberals want us to have the kind of health care that they have in Canada, that they have in Europe, and that our veterans have. You know, Veterans Affairs and the VA hospitals, Veterans Administration hospitals, where you're a vet, you could have free health care. It's just the greatest health care you could ever want, because it's the government providing it for you. And it's government bureaucrats deciding what kind of health care you can or cannot have. It's just the best. Anyway, that's why liberals are so excited. The higher the those that are uninsured for health care, they get excited. So 15%, it's higher than it's been recently. They're so excited. Because we should have national health care so we could be more like Europe and Canada. But think about, you know, kids get injured, especially boys, girls too, but they get injured. A lot of kids break bones, broken legs, broken arms, broken collarbones, broken whatever. You name it, a kid will break it. Now think of all the kids you know who've had broken arms or legs or fingers, feet, and think of all the kids that have had broken legs who could not get their legs set by a doctor because they did not have health care. Now, how many people are listening to the show right now? Well, we don't know. On the internet, we have about 2,000 unique visitors a week. And on the radio at KLTT in Denver, we don't know, some number. And each of us probably can think of maybe five people, five kids who've broken something. Something, broken something. Not in your own family, but some of you can think of five of your own kids, five broken bones among your own kids, but five. So that's right there. It's over 10,000 kids with broken limbs. And so you think 15% of those 10,000 kids, let's just do 10% since 15% is high. So of those 10,000 broken bones among kids, do you think 1,000 of those kids were not able to go to a doctor to get their broken bones looked at and x-rayed and set? 1,000 of them? Well, it'd be 1,500 of them right here. 15% don't have health insurance. I've never met one. I don't know of one. I don't know of one. No one I've ever asked that question to has ever thought of one. And so when liberals shout the alarm about the people without health insurance, that's a lot different than people without health care. And you know what? If you don't have a good income, you don't generally, you don't have good health care. And you know what? That's good. That's good. Good health care should be tied to a good income so that young people are motivated to do well, to prosper, to succeed, so that a young father won't be even more tempted, say, to throw his life away to alcohol. Because he doesn't need to have a good career because the government provides health care for his kids. His kids are fine. It doesn't matter if he could stay at one job for 10 years. That doesn't matter. His kids have excellent health care. In fact, it doesn't matter how hard he works. His kids have the same health care whether he's an alcoholic or a hard worker. It doesn't matter. You see what you do to people? But liberals, you know, liberals are liberals. They can't understand these simple concepts because they're committed to lies. So why do Canadians who have free health care, those who can afford it, why do they come to America to pay for health care when they have it free in Canada? Let's see. I don't know. I can't figure that out. You know, I've been thinking about that for a long time, and I can't figure it out. Why would a Canadian who has free health care, why would he come to America and pay for it when it's free in Canada? Why is that? I don't know. I can't figure it out. Maybe someday I'll stop being a conservative and then I'll figure it out. You think that's, maybe that'll work. All right. Hey, we're out of time. And remember about our website, kgov.com, that's kgov.com, and our online store. And have you seen that video, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life? It's just excellent. Biochemistry and how God created and the evidence that evolution is not true, that species did not evolve. What a great video. Excellent scientist in the video. So check us out on the web or call us at 1-888-8-ENYART. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. And risk the consequences.